Let's go ahead and take our Bibles this evening to the book of Genesis. Genesis, first book in the Bible. I think most of us could find that. Worried about a couple of you, but most of you can find it, I'm sure. Genesis chapter number 4. We're going to look at another one of those great questions of the Bible tonight. And I think it's something that we can look at and we can learn from and we can grow. Also, it can help us a little bit in the day and time that we are living in. Plus, I think we can make application inside our church families. So all those different things together, I think tonight we're going to look at the story of Cain and Abel, but mostly focusing on Cain. And the question that God asked Cain is, why are you so wroth? Or we can entitle the message, why are you so angry? But why are you so wroth? Why art thou wroth? In verse number 6. He said, why is that such an important question? Well, the day and time we live in, there's a lot of angry people out there. Can you hear me? Is it on? Is it working? No? Maybe? Maybe so? Can you hear me now? There you go. It's sort of like that commercial. Didn't they say that? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? The guy used to walk everywhere. I think that was a Sprint commercial. I don't think he ever came to Elizabeth City. Because if you use Sprint in Elizabeth City, you can't hear him. At least you couldn't a year or two ago. So I guess maybe you should have came to Elizabeth City and you said, can you hear me now? But here, there's a problem with a lot of people being angry today. And I think we're going to try to correlate the two together in the story of Cain. But even before the rioting and the protests and the looting and things like that, there was an uprise in school shootings. There was an uprise in suicide bombings. There's a lot of people in this world today that are very, very angry. And the Bible talks about that. Ephesians 4:26, the Bible says, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Proverbs 14:17. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. Ecclesiastes 7:9. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. So I'm going to look tonight, and we're going to look at this passage of Scripture and kind of tear it apart a little bit. I don't know if there's really an outline besides saying, why Cain was angry, how the Lord tried to help them, and then the third point would be careful if you don't deal with your sins, or if you don't deal with your sins, there's a problem. It's going to get worse. So let's jump in here, Genesis chapter number 4, and we're going to kind of walk through the passage to begin with. I'll give you some commentary as we're talking here because it's an interesting story. And then we're going to look at this, why God would go to Cain and ask the question. Remember, when God asks the question, he's not looking for knowledge. He already knows it all. He's trying to reveal to the individual something about him, talking about God, or something about himself. Most of the time, it's something about both. So he's revealing something to Cain about God himself, but also trying to reveal something to Cain about himself to help him get right. God doesn't ask questions to gain knowledge. God doesn't ask questions to make you look foolish. God is asking questions on purpose to try to help. And that's what's happening here tonight. Let's look here in Genesis chapter number 4. Let's go to verse number 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare a son, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Now, if you read, do some studying on that verse, chapter number 3, Eve has fallen, been beguiled by the snake. God has promised her that there was going to be someone of her seed that was going to bruise the head, all those different things. I believe, and most commentators believe, she thinks that this is it. Cain's going to be the redeemer. Boy, was she wrong, that's for sure. And you think about it, most of us think really highly of our kids. Our kids are going to do all these great things, but then we're reminded, they're sinners just like us. That's why the Bible talks about parenting them and making sure that we pray for them and work with them. They're not the angels that many of us think that they are. Verse number 2, and she again bare his brother Abel. Some commentators, some Bible people think that they were twins. I don't really see that, but no one will really know until we get to heaven, I guess. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, and Cain was a tiller of the ground. So they have two different professions there. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Now, here's a thought here. Why would God have respect to Abel's offering and not Cain's? And you might be surprised that there's people who disagree by what they believe. The first and most important thing we know, it is was not done by faith. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, in Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 4, the Bible says, "For by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being yet dead yet speaketh." So in Hebrews is saying that Abel's offering was better because he did it by faith. It was a righteous sacrifice. You say, well, it doesn't show in the Bible everything that God told Cain and Abel, so how do we know that they knew first? Well, you think about it, what does the Bible say? So then faith cometh by what? Hearing. So at some point in time, in my belief, God is not unfair, God is not unjust. Cain knew exactly what God wanted. Now, there are some people who think that because of Abel, and this is the way I would lean, because Abel and the sacrifice was the blood offering, it was a pointing up to the Messiah. Remember, the law has not come yet, and there is non-blood offerings inside the law. But it's here, I think that's the reason why. Some people say it's because of when you read it in verse number 4, it says the firstlings of his flock, meaning that Abel gave of his best, the first. That same description is not found of Cain's sacrifice. Now, you can argue with somebody about it. I don't think it really makes too much of a difference. It does point, if it's the blood sacrifice, it shows that, hey, it's the blood, it's the only way to heaven, and it's the only way we can be saved, and it's a pretty picture. No matter what, Abel's was done by faith. Abel did things God's way. Cain did not do things God's way. And because Abel was accepted, his sacrifice in verse number 4 was accepted, but in verse number 5, God did not respect Cain's offering. So he's upset. Cain does not do what he's supposed to. Because Cain does not do what he's supposed to, he has a chance here. He can get right. He can say, okay, I've done wrong, I can repent, and I'm just going to go do what's right. You know what, that usually doesn't happen unless somebody talks to you. And usually, unless somebody corrects you, you're going to go on and you're going to do what? You're going to be offended. Cain here is offended because of the fact that God would not look at a sacrifice. Now, in the book of Jude, it talks about in Jude 11, "Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain." And you say, well, what do you mean by the way of Cain? I think there's a verse in the Bible that describes this perfectly in Proverbs 16:25. "There is a way that seemeth right unto the man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." So I think Cain had in his mind, hey, this is my fruit, this is my labor, God should be pleased with my best, and God should be pleased with my labor. And was there anything wrong with his fruit? Of course not. Was there anything wrong with being a tiller of the ground? Of course not. But at the same time, he was not doing it God's way. And because he was not doing it God's way, God did not respect his offering. And now it comes in verse number 6, he goes to Cain. And it says, "And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth?" And here's the thought here is, Cain, you did wrong, so why are you so angry? Why are you so mad right now? What you're doing is wrong. You did not believe, you did not have faith, you did not do things the way I told you to do. And even when you saw I was not pleased with it, you chose not to repent. Instead, you become upset. And let's see what happens here. It keeps on going. He says, "Why art thou so wroth?" And he says, "And why is thy countenance fallen?" And this is one of the things you see here, and we're going to talk about a little bit tonight, that sin affects us. When we don't deal with our sin and we don't get wrong, our countenance is going to fall. And when our countenance fall, you're hard to deal with. It says in verse number 6, "And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen?" And he says in verse number 7, "If thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted?" And this is probably my favorite part of the whole story is, God saying, hey, look, there's help for you. There's hope. There's grace right here. Even though you did wrong the first time, guess what? You can still do right. You can still get it right. You can still make a difference. He says, why are you so angry right now? Why is your countenance falling? If anybody should be angry, if anyone should be mad, it should be God, because he didn't do things God's way. But instead, you see God approaching him and saying, look, if thou doest well, you're going to be accepted also. If you're willing to get it right, then everything's going to be okay. Let's keep on going. And isn't it wonderful how God is patient with us, how God is long-suffering, how God is kind? Even though we mess up and even though we sin, his Holy Spirit of God still convicts us of our sins. He sends things in our lives to remind us of things that we're doing wrong. He gives us his word. He gives us preachers who preach the word of God that convicts our hearts. His word convicts our hearts. The Holy Spirit of God convicts our hearts. And he's coming to you and saying, why are you so angry? Why are you the one with the problem? And then he goes, if thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. Now there's two pictures, there are image here. The one thinks because of the sin offering that was lying at the door that they could have used to be able to, but that wouldn't have been established until the law. I think it's the picture of a sin as a crouching animal by the door. If you do not do well, if you do not get this right, sin is going to consume you. Sin is something that's going to attack you. It's lying at the door, and it's only going to get worse if you choose not to get right. Verse number 7 continues, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt have rule over him. Verse number 8, and Cain talked with Abel, his brother. Now, people say, well, what happened here? We don't know what's said. But we also know how to deal with people who are offended. We know how to deal with people who are angry. We know how to deal with people whose countenance is falling, that there is a good chance and good reason they were talking about the sacrifice that was going on here. And Cain was not very happy with the fact that Abel had been accepted and Cain had not been. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. We have the first murder. We have Cain killing his own brother. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is thy brother? Where is Abel, thy brother? So the Lord comes to him later on after Cain has taken, killed him in the field. And he comes up to Cain and says, hey, where's your brother? And now look at Cain's response. He said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Now, can you ever have a kid be smart aleck to you? Of course not. Your kids are all perfect. But you ever have somebody smart back at you? You sit there and you ask them a question. They're in trouble already. They've already been in trouble. They know they're in trouble, but they don't think they've done anything wrong. They think that they're right. They think that they're justified. And they have the nerve to say something smart back to you when you already want to strangle them. And then they turn around and they say something back to you in a smart-aleck way. And I won't say my kids ever did that, but I can say I did that growing up a little bit. And I'm sorrowful for it. I always tell my mom on Mother's Day, sorry for the fact I was such a bad kid. And she says, you weren't that bad. But I know what I was like. And so imagine that he's saying this to God. He says, am I my brother's keeper? Which is another great question of the Bible. It's actually on the list. I know we did more great questions of the Bible the first half of the year. But am I my brother's keeper? Cain is asking this in a way to say to God, he says, I don't know. Why should I care? But he's the one that, and you can imagine the smart aleck, the smug look on his face, the challenging that's there. He's talking to God. In verse number 10, and he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. So he's been punished. He's been corrected because he would not get right up here earlier. His sin has grown to his falling his countenance to the point of murder. God punishes him. And what's his response? Does he say, God, please forgive me? God, I need your mercy? No, he doesn't. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Sign of someone who's unrepentant. You know, this is wrong. person who is repentant is a person who says, you know what, I've done wrong, whatever happens, I deserve. I'm seeking mercy, but Lord, however you decide is fine. Verse 14, behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's help tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I know I need your help. Lord, I know you brought us this passage of Scripture for some reason, for some purpose. And Lord, I know it's something that many of us could use help with. Many of us are offended, and we're offended easy for the wrong things. Here, Cain is offended because he tried to do things his own way, and he still refused to get it right. He didn't believe. He didn't do things by faith. He didn't offer a sacrifice by faith. He chose still to be unrepentant, and because of that, he thought his punishment was too great. Lord, help us to live by faith. Help us to recognize that there's something in our heart that is going on that's wrong and repent of that. Lord, help us also to accept what's going on in our hearts and lives as God is trying to teach us and show us different things. Lord, we need you tonight. Lord, help us, none of us, to be angry. As the Bible is talking about, it's anger resteth in the bosom of fools. It says that he that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. And Lord, help us to make sure that we're not people that are angry. In Jesus' name, amen. So the first thing I want you to think about is why Cain was angry. And I know when we reread through and kind of give you a little highlight of what's going on, it kind of, the message kind of a little bit repeats, but it's important. Why was he angry? What is the purpose there? Why? What is the problem? And it comes down to what it says in Jude, the way of Cain. That way of Cain, it kind of represents a false religion. Cain thought he could get to God his own way. Cain thought he could work his way to God. Many commentators believe that it was probably the best he had, and he was just trying to earn his way and work his way. He didn't understand why his best was not good enough for God. But God had taught and God had shown it had to come through the blood. And so in the story here, Cain goes and does what is right in his own eyes. Let's be honest, many times we get offended, many times we get angry, we get upset. Why is that? Because we want things our own way. Many times we do what we want to do and we're upset when people are not willing to do the same thing. I was been doing a little reading, and I was really debating on whether to preach about being offended or preach about this, and the Lord kind of brought them both together, but it's amazing how many times people get offended by some of the smallest and stupidest things. You ever have somebody give you a hard time about not putting the toothpaste back on the toothpaste bottle or in the toothpaste? Yeah, come on. I mean, in the real scheme of things, does that really matter? And once again, you should do it. And if you forget to do it, maybe a reminder is okay. But is it really something worth getting upset over? I was reading in the stories, there was a preacher who told a story of a 110-pound woman who had pushed her husband that weighed 350 pounds through a wall. And he said it's because he lost his balance. The lady was really irate. The lady was really upset. And he came over. They were both, at that point in time, they were getting, she wasn't trying to hurt him. She was upset with him. Do you want to know why she was upset? He forgot to put the red cap back on the milk carton. He put it back in the refrigerator without the cap on the carton. Now, I've left the cap off the toothpaste before. I've never, to my knowledge, I've never put in the carton of milk back into the refrigerator without putting the cap back on. That just doesn't make sense. But the lady said, when the pastor came over, and the lady said to him, he asked, well, what happened? He says, he just wouldn't stop doing it. And he didn't know what he was talking about, but she was irate. She was upset. And I says, well, what was he doing? He says, he continuously forgot to put the red cap back on the milk. And there was a hole sitting in the wall from where that man got pushed into the wall because this little lady was upset. It's amazing what people get angry about today. The scriptures say in Psalms 119, 165, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Here, the scripture, Cain is not doing things the right way. He is offended because God will not accept him Cain's way. The Bible says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And tonight's message is, stop holding on to what you think is right and listen to what God says is right. Whether it's anger, whether it's bitterness, whether it's their long list of things, whether it's cheating, whether it's lying, whether it's disobedience. The story tonight isn't specifically about anger as it is as much as doing things God's way, agreeing with God, like we talked about on Sunday night, confessing, agreeing with God, and stop holding on to your way, because when you hold on to your way, in the end, it's going to be much worse. There is an end, because the way of the way, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. What we have here is the first false religion. And all false religions are doomed. That's when they're saying the way of Cain. But what I'm interested in tonight is looking at and understanding, am I doing things God's way or am I holding on to my own way? Because many times when we hold on to our own way, we become offended when we're corrected. And when we become offended, we become someone who is cast down. And when we become a cast down, we become someone who is opening up the rest of our lives to a bunch of sin. As I was doing some studying, it talked about how if a pastor is one who is offended and they're worried about their offense so much, everything else inside their church turns up wrong because the pastor's not doing what they're supposed to do. And in our own lives, when we allow bitterness and anger to stay in our hearts, you know what happens? We focus so much on that, everything else is a problem. So why was Cain angry? Why was Cain upset? It's because God would not let him do things the way that he wanted. Can you imagine what it would have been like to be there with Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, and how Cain and Abel heard the stories about how the story of the serpent. You can imagine. I can imagine. I'm sure if I was Eve, I would have been there and I would have been saying to those boys all the time, don't you ever talk to a serpent. Don't you ever listen to that devil. Don't you? And they would have said it over and over and over, because ladies like to say things over and over and over. Right? Right? No amens to that? Come on. You know that's true. Over and over and over. And here he got the story, and we have Eve and Adam telling them the stories, and what are they supposed to do? Do things God's way. Do things God's way. Do things God's way. What does Cain do? I think my way's right. When I think my way's right, I don't care what happens to me, or I don't care what anybody says to me. And so the first thing is, why is he angry? It's because he wants things his own way. I truly believe that God is a just God. God would not be punishing Cain here or correcting Cain if he had not done something wrong. If you think that God expected Cain to know what to do and he just did what he was right and he did it wrong because God never told him, that's not just and that's not right. So I don't think that's even, in my mind, a case that could be happening. You might say, well, I don't see what Cain did was wrong. Same thing as saying to all these other false religions are doing. I want to get to heaven in my own way. I want to do things my own way. And as I'm doing things my own way, then I want God to be pleased with what I offer instead of what he expects. The second thing I want you to think about, not only was why was Cain upset, the second thing I want you to think about is God offers help. Look what it says in verse number 7. And I love this part. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. He comes along and he says, look, if you're going to do what's right, everything's going to be okay. And I love this part of the story because the reality is that no matter where you're at in your life tonight, you can get right with God. No matter where you're at, no matter what you've done, no matter what position you're in, if you're unsaved, you can get your heart right with God and you can be on your way to heaven, praise the Lord. If you're a Christian that has turned and walked away from God for a little while, you can confess it and you can get it right. It might take a little while for God to reveal those things into your heart, but if you have an open heart and a willingness to be completely right, that can happen even here tonight too. And that's the amazing thing about this story is, hey, don't hold on to your own fleshly desires. Yes, the way of the man seems right in their own eyes, but the end of those ways, they are death. So don't hold on to those. And I love that. So there's three things here I see in this story. First, Cain does not believe God's way. Cain refuses to get things right. And then Cain complains about its consequences. And I see these people out here today that are mobs and that are violent and that are protesters, that they want to do things their own way, and they refuse to admit that they may be doing something wrong, no matter what whoever reasons with them, no matter whoever says, hey, this is common sense here, and you're like, anybody else with common sense would truly understand this. And he's like, no, we're not doing anything wrong. Refuse to get right. But when something happens to them in a bad way, you know what they do? They complain. Oh, this is wrong. This is bad. They're treating us wrong. They're treating us badly. Sin is sin. When you want to do things your own way, guess what's going to happen? You're either going to get right or you're going to get punished. Either you're going to get right and change, or you're going to have to pay the consequences that come along with it. So what are we supposed to do here? And it says here in verse number 7, if thou doest well, if you're willing to be obedient, no matter what area it is, whether it's anger, whether it's robbing God, whether it's impure thoughts, whatever it is, don't hold on to your own ways. Be obedient. If thou doest well, and I love that, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. If you're willing to get right, this is pure grace. He's reminding him, if you would be obedient, God, he was going to be accepted. If you're going to be obedient, God expects and wants us to be obedient. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God. So he's saying, look, there's a blessing and a curse here. If you do right, everything's going to be okay. If you chose not to, you're going to be in trouble. So the first thing is what Cain was angry about, trying to do things his own way. The second thing is God is offering help. You see this and you see God coming to him. I love that. God is there and he comes to him and he says to him, Cain is the one that's done wrong. Cain is the one that should be seeking after God. Cain is the one. God, out of his love, doesn't leave us where we're at. He comes to us. And the Bible says, be kind one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You know, he's saying to him, be obedient. You know, you're going to be accepted. And then you see that if we're sorrowful and repent, then we'll get right. But that's not what happens with Cain here. Cain instead chooses to do even worse. The third thing, how sin affects us. How sin affects us. You see why Cain is angry. We see God offers help and God offers grace, however you want to write the point. But the third thing is how sin affects us. And I love the picture it's found in verse number 7. He says, if thou doest not well, if you choose not to get right, it says sin lieth at the doors. And I think that gives a picture of a person that is there. Sin lieth at the door. One preacher put it this way. He says, I believe he was saying that sin is like a wild beast. He was crouching at the door, waiting to pounce on him the moment he stepped out. When he chooses not to do what's right, you know what happens? It leaves our hearts open wide to the devil to make things worse. Cain here says, all I'm doing is bringing my best. I'm doing things my way, and I'm putting my fruit. Everybody, well, that's not that big of a deal. But because he chose his own way, because he chose to harden his heart, what happens? His countenance falls. He throws himself a little pity party. And then what happens next? He refuses to obey God, refuses to get it right, and he ends up murdering his own brother. And then he sits there and complains about the punishment. So I'm telling you that sin will affect us. You might think that my little bit of sin isn't going to hurt me. My little bit of being offended by something someone said or someone does, I can just sit over here and I can sulk for a little while and it's never going to really bother me. It's never going to hurt my family. It's not going to hurt my church family. It's not going to make a difference in my life. Then you're saying you disagree with what the Bible says. Because you see in the Word of God, when we let a little sin into our life, it leavens the whole lump. or the whole loaf. You think about David, who chose to just stay home when he should have been out in battle. He's out on the rooftop. He sees Bathsheba. That little sin continues to grow and grow and grow. And here in this story, I don't think Cain had a hatred for his brother. I don't think Cain even was obstinate against God. He even brought what he thought he should have brought to God. He didn't have a problem with the fact that he should have brought something to God. He just wanted to bring what he wanted to God. And because of that, he made his own way of religion. He made his own way of doing things. And when he does that, when God says, no, that is wrong, it offends him. So, Pastor, what are you getting at? It's not somebody who doesn't, not always someone who says, I don't believe there's a God. It's those that say, God, I see you, I know what you want, but I think my way's better. And that's when we got to get to the point where we realize that sin will affect us. The Bible says that we should be vigilant, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. God is there, and I can see God begging and pleading in a sense, because I know the Holy Spirit has begged and pleaded in my heart and life, hey, stop doing this, start doing this. And as I choose to say, no, God, I don't want to, as I'm walking out the door, it's like, okay, I'm leaving myself wide open for more problems, even greater things. Hebrews 12:15 says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. I see in verse number 7, the grace of God, God coming to Cain and saying, Cain, if thou doest well, if you will get right, we can make sure, nothing's going to change. Everything's going to be okay. He fails the grace of God. And he said, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you and thereby be defiled. There's many, many that are defiled today because of the fact they chose to hold on to something they didn't see anything wrong with. Proverbs 14:17 says, he that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. So we need to be careful. Cain sheds the blood of his brother instead of shedding the blood of the lamb. And we think, oh, that's, and many times there's people today that would say, man, it's a bloody religion. It's a bloody this. What do you mean someone had to die for my sins? And people don't like the fact that it's by the blood that we're saved. But it's amazing that he didn't like that. He didn't maybe like the fact that a lamb had to be slain, but he didn't have any problem slaying his brother. It's amazing out there, the religionists of today that says, oh, our good works is enough, but they have no problems killing the unborn babies. It's amazing what they say. It's okay over here. We need to make sure we protect these certain groups of people, but we have no problem hurting other groups of people. It's hypocrisy. And what is it? It's gone to the point that they chose not to believe. When they were corrected, they chose not to repent. And now they're making up excuses or complaints about the problems that they're having. Think about some of the extremes that we're led to because of their bitterness and anger. Think about Jonah's brothers. Could not talk peacefully, and they ended up selling him in slavery. Jonah wanted a whole city destroyed, even after they got right and repented. Saul continued wasting his life trying to kill David because of his pride and jealousy. And I think Saul is a perfect picture. And if we ever talk a little bit more about being offended, Saul was offended because those women sang that song. I'm not saying women's the problems in the world. I'm not. It's just in the stories tonight because there's men's problems too. But those women were singing the songs, and what happened? He got offended. And what happens then? From that point on, for many years in his life, he is acting foolishly because he was offended at one point in time. He let that sin grow. He tried to kill David multiple times. He spent his own time with his own army seeking after one guy when he should have been being the king of the greatest kingdom of all time. He doesn't. And why is that? Because at one point in time, he was offended. He let that jealousy, he let that rage, he let that anger become so pointed it overwhelmed him, and it ended up costing him his life and ended up costing and ruining the perfect opportunity he had. And you see also his countenance was fallen. Tonight, I want you to see here, Cain's upset, he's angry, and he doesn't want to get right. Because of that, there's bloodshed. He would try to convince you what he was doing was good. It was right. There was nothing wrong with it. But he got offended. He opened up that door. He did not want to get it right. and we see his countenance falls, we see Abel falls, and then we see even after the punishment, he's not asking God, he's still not submitting, he's still not falling in his face, asking for forgiveness, saying he's sorry. Instead, he's like, that's too tough, God. You're wrong. That's bad. It's because of the fact he wasn't willing to do things God's way. I don't know what it is in your heart and your life tonight, but I want to encourage you, if there is some type of sin in your heart, be vigilant against it. The Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. God comes to Cain, and he says to him, why art thou so wroth? He loves him. He says, here's grace. He says, why are you acting like this? Here's grace. If thou doest well, if you'll get it right, it will be okay. I want to encourage you tonight. I don't know what it is that's in your heart or life. I don't know why God lays certain sermons on people's hearts. And I know last Sunday night we talked about confession. Last Wednesday night we talked about, you know, truly seeking after God. Is there something in your life that is stopping you from getting where God wants you to? Don't hold on to it. Sin is lying at the door. I like the picture of that lion, because the Bible's a reference of sitting there, and you're sitting there and you're talking to God, and God's trying to speak to your heart. God's trying to get it right. God's trying to do whatever he can to get you to be right. And the Holy Spirit of God, the preaching, the teaching, the reading of the word, and it's there. And as soon as you say, no, I'm not going to get right, and we think we can handle our sin, we turn and walk away, and God says, sin lieth at the door. It's just waiting to jump on you. And it wants to ruin your life. He's seeking whom he may devour. He's not saying, I'm seeking who I can make them happier and make them feel better. No, he wants to devour. The thief has come to steal, to kill, to ruin our lives. I want to encourage you tonight. Sin is not worth it. Don't hold on to it. Be willing to listen when God speaks to your heart. And maybe tonight he's speaking to your heart about something. Don't walk away, because sin lieth at the door. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we see the story of Cain, and it reminds us of an unrepentant, unbelieving individual. God, we need you tonight. I know I need you. And Lord, I don't want any type of sin in my heart. I don't want nothing to be between me and the Savior. Lord, I see what sin does, and I see how it's sitting at the door just waiting, Lord, for us to say no to you so it can make a mess of our lives. Thank you for loving us, God. Lord, I pray you speak to people's hearts during the invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.